voice of our very own Adam Amin, ESPN play-by-play, who's on the call, Georgia Tech, South Florida, hanging out with you today in Okarchi at Carter Chevrolet. So welcome to the show, Mr. Adam Amin. Great call, man. You had a heck of a game, 49-38 win by South Florida on Saturday.
I was impressed by what we saw from South Florida, man. And I know you and I obviously got a great look at them late last year. And I wasn't sure, right? How are these guys going to combat with losing arguably the greatest quarterback they've had in their short program's history, in Quentin Flowers? And this kid, Blake Barnett, a lot of people remember him. Alabama, number one recruit, doesn't pan out for him. He gets pulled in his first career start, ends up at Arizona State, ends up as a backup there. Then Herm Edwards comes in. He ends up leaving. And he finally finds a home at South Florida, and he looks like a viable quarterback. And I'll tell you, man, I think with Boise State coming into Oak State this week, UCF, who's still rolling, Houston, Marshall, I would even say Hawaii. I mean, there's some legit group of five teams out there right now that I think people should keep their eyes on as the season goes on.
Adam, the Boise State team is coming into Oklahoma State on Saturday. This is one of the better games, I think, that we'll see this weekend. They are so good up front on the offensive line, very experienced there, and the defense outstanding. How do you see the game developing in the trenches on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the one concern that Mike Gundy has really had is, as good as the offense has been in terms of putting up some points, just the concern of this offensive line play, run blocking. He said he wants to see a little bit more from there. He felt like the O-line play was a little bit sloppy. And that's where Boise State has made its money the last couple of seasons. They've got a really stacked front, whether it's Curtis Weaver, who's turned into one of the really explosive defensive ends in college football. I don't think a lot of people have been talking about him. He's a freshman last year. And Dusty and I got a look at him, what, three times last season? Like, mm-hmm. He was legit. He was a third-down pass rusher who's developed into just about an every-down type of guy. Jabril Frazier is excellent. They have a very veteran defensive tackle in David Moa, who is expected to play this week again. So I feel like this front of Boise State, along with a veteran back end, and they've returned just about everybody off that defense last year, other than Leighton Vander Esch, who got drafted by the Cowboys, that's going to be a concern for me. And Boise State offensively, with their front on the O-line, they've made their money as a running team for a long time. Jay Ajayi, Doug Martin. Right now they've got a great kid in Alexander Madison at running back. They've built themselves on O-line play. And while it wasn't great early last year, it got better as the season went on. And I think that is where Boise State can win this game. And that's how I think they've won games like this in the past, with offensive line play and a strong defense. The hallmarks for that program, I think they're established for this season as well. This might be one of the better Boise State teams we see in the last couple of years.
To Adam's point, Boise State averaging 6.9 yards a carry, 6 touchdowns on the ground. What's impressed me, Adam, is the quarterback play of Brett Rippon, because, as you mentioned, we saw them a lot last year, and it was a mixed bag with Brett Rippon. At times he was downright bad. He got benched. They went to Montel Cozart, and then towards the end of the season, he played much better, but 7 touchdowns and no picks, and he's completing over 73% of his passes. Brett Rippon, in his senior year, sure seems to be playing some of his best football.
Yeah, this looks more like the Rippon of his first couple of seasons, a guy that we looked at as a potential NFL draft pick, as a maybe first or second round quarterback taken, and he's established himself as one of the better NFL prospects in college football. And for whatever reason, maybe it was the Montel Cozart factor last year, where maybe he was looking over his shoulder a little bit. He is the guy. And Brian Harsin has put his faith in his offense in this guy. And understandably so. He's got a great pedigree, one of the best in terms of the active quarterbacks, in terms of yardage in his career. He's looks like, and again, I know UConn's not going to put up the biggest fight, but to go to Troy, a good defensive team, that's been one of the better defensive teams in the Sun Belt in a Group of Five conference the last few years, to go to Troy on the road and put up the number of points that they put up, and for him to be as sharp as he has been, I'm impressed. Now, this is going to be obviously his toughest test so far, but I've been impressed with what I've seen to see Brett Rippon come back to form, add the running game. This is a balanced offense, typically what Boise State has been. And as per usual, you have to keep in mind the trickeration, the creativity, and the versatility of a lot of guys on this offense. So you can't let any of that get by you if you're Oklahoma State this week. This is going to be a tough test for the Cowboys.
All right, two questions for you, Adam. Will you refer to Taylor Cornelius as the corn dog on the broadcast on Saturday? And secondly, what are your impressions of him so far?
Mike Gundy loves to ride. What did he call? He called him corn dog like 10 times in the press conference, and I was cracking up every time he did it. I loved it. I don't know what was in that slushie, but it seemed like he put Mike Gundy.
It's a smoothie. It's a smoothie, Adam. Smoothie.
Yeah, it was a very good smoothie, I would imagine. No, I don't know how much we'll tag him as corn dog. I'm sure we'll mention that that's Mike Gundy's nickname for him. But I got to tell you, man, what a great story this kid is. And when Oklahoma State has been at its best, especially under Mike Gundy, it's been because of quarterback play. Whether it's Zach Robinson, whether it's been Mason Rudolph, Brandon Whedon, a quarterback, a true great quarterback has defined Oklahoma State football for about a decade and a half now. And while Taylor is never going to go down as that guy because he wasn't a three-year starter, he wasn't a guy that's going to set all these records, he's a guy who's really bided his time. And to watch him run the offense as efficiently for the most part as he has so far, to put up the number of points that they put up against, again, lesser competition, I understand that. But he's adjusted well. They didn't get Justice Hill involved that much last week because of what the defense of South Alabama was giving him. So he decided to test downfield. And I can appreciate the adjustments that he makes. I can appreciate his knowledge of the offense, his understanding, his sensibility in this offense, his veteran poise, even though this is his first year starting since high school. I think it's a great story. I've been impressed by him. I think this game is not going to fall on his shoulders as much. I think this is really going to be about Justice Hill and that offensive line. But with the weapons that Oklahoma State continuously puts out there, Taylor Cornelius, if he has an efficient game and keeps Oklahoma State's offense balanced, I think this could be a big day for him. If Justice Hill can run the ball, you soften this defense a little bit, you can beat them over the top, but you have to establish a running game. And I think if Taylor Cornelius can do what he did the last couple of weeks against a better defense, Oklahoma State should be in this game, and they should be in a good position to win it.
He's got some weapons outside, man. They've got plenty of weapons at receiver and running back, and I'm glad you mentioned Justice Hill. You know, they've kind of been able to save him to a degree with some of these blowout wins and not put a lot of carries on him. For me, this is a game where Justice Hill needs north of 20 touches, because I totally agree with what you're saying. I said it earlier. I think that, you know, you've got to establish the ability to run the football, soften up that defense, and then I think there will be opportunities down the field. But you got to establish a line of scrimmage, and Justice Hill, he's one of the elite running backs in college football.
I agree, and I still feel like he's not a guy who gets his due. And I get it, man. Like, Anderson last year had a great season for Oklahoma. Unfortunately, you know, the injury this season. You know, TCU's had good running backs in the past. We've talked more about quarterback play, I think, in the Big 12 over the last few years than necessarily focusing on running backs because of Mayfield, because of Rudolph. I feel like Will Greer, obviously, at West Virginia. So we seem to focus in more on quarterback play, and maybe rightfully so. But I think Justice Hill still goes a little bit under the radar. One of the more talented guys we saw, what a year he had a couple of seasons ago, 1,500 yards last year. He puts up 15 touchdowns. I think this is one of the more underrated guys, and I don't think a lot of people in Oklahoma might feel that way. They go, hey, we love this guy. You know, we love this guy. We know what he's capable of as a carrier of the ball. Like you said, Dusty, he can be a workhorse, 20 to 25 touches a game. But I still feel like the general college football fan is still unaware of how good Justice Hill is. And I think he's, like we talked about, as essential of a factor as there is for Oak State on Saturday. And I think a key to the game if Oklahoma State's going to win the game.
Do you notice any difference in the OSU defense this year under Jim Knowles?
You know what? I feel like this is an opportunity to have one of their better defenses in the last 4 or 5 years to get under 400 yards a game. I haven't gotten a chance to really dive fully in on the tape, and I don't want to judge them based on the two games that they've played. You know, Missouri State, South Alabama, it's not really going to be a true test of what this defense wants to do and what they're capable of. I'm going to be interested to talk to him this week. We'll get a chance to visit with him on Friday before the game, and I really want to know, what did he see on tape? What did he want to adjust? And what did he think was important for the personnel that he has now to try to amplify and exploit what the strengths of this defense could be. To get them under 400 yards allowed a game, I think that's a viable possibility. I think that's certainly a goal that can be achieved this year by Oklahoma State. So I think that's something that we want to really learn this week. How do you do it against this offense? How do you do it against a veteran QB, against one of the better group of five running backs, against a team that has always had good offensive line play? This is a really good test. I think this will be the best barometer for Oklahoma State fans to really see what this defense is capable of or what they need to improve on.
A few more minutes to Adam Amin, play-by-play voice for ESPN. He will be in Stillwater on the call 2:30 Saturday, top 25 matchup as Boise State comes to town. Now, one thing I'm sure my listeners don't know, and I haven't even told Mark yet, this will be Adam's first time to Stillwater. So, Marcus, if you could, you know Adam's a man that loves some good taste in food. You got to get him some spots in Stillwater to go check out.
What you got, man?
Stillwater is a great town. I'm sure I can get you accommodated at the fabulous 7C Landon Cattle Steakhouse, which is just about 15 minutes away from Stillwater. But there's all kinds of great places to enjoy a little food and fun.
You got to go buy Eskimo Joe's.
It's a staple.
Mexico
Joe's tacos are pretty good. You can get a little. You get the shredded beef tacos, not the ground beef tacos, which I prefer. That it's kind of like an upper class taco, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And okay. People underappreciate the shredded beef taco. And I know a lot of people might go out and get a barbacoa taco. That's what we're talking about. Just that shredded, it has a good feel. It mixes well and absorbs salsa really well. So if you like salsa, I highly recommend eating shredded beef with it, because you get the salsa into the pocket for the beef, which is really important.
They've got they've also got a brand new massive video board in Stillwater that I think you're going to like. I haven't even seen that thing yet. It's supposed to be unbelievable.
We were talking about it, and like I don't know if it's going to rival like the AT&T board, in Arlington. But for the size of this place, and that's the other thing that we talked about on our team call and our conference call today with our production crew, and we were discussing this. The atmosphere in Stillwater, underrated, and I've only watched it on TV. I've never experienced that intimate, like, they're right on top of you. Dusty, I know you played there. You played multiple times in that stadium. That's a hostile environment to go into, and I think one of those underrated atmospheres in college football that we don't always talk about because it's not a mammoth stadium. It's 55, 56,000.
In 6 years on the sidelines that I did with OU, Adam, the loudest stadium that I was in was the 2002 Bedlam game. That was
– And I was, unfortunately – on the sidelines. Here's the thing about that stadium.
Oregon, Alabama, I mean, all kinds of places. A&M, that was
the only one louder was A&M in Stillwater in 02, both those years. That was extremely loud. And I would say for you guys and Quinn, you guys should show that, because it is one of the tightest, crowds right there. I mean, you have the wall, the fans sitting right there, and typically, the players' benches are almost backed up to that wall. So it's as tight, as close quarters as you're going to find anywhere in college football. And if things are going right for Oklahoma State, those fans are going to let you hear about it, Adam. I mean, they will beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. And if the game's not going your way, I'd be lying if I would say it doesn't get to you. It definitely got to me.
Yeah, I think that's something that we want to show off a little bit. I thought they really did a nice job on Saturday night at Kyle Field. The ESPN crew was showing off the atmosphere of that place. And, again, it's a massive stadium that's built way up high, and it's so loud there. And I think this is a nice juxtaposition to have that intensity and that intimacy and that aggressiveness from a fan base that's so close to the field. It's a nice juxtaposition. It doesn't have to be a 100,000-seat stadium to feel like it's 100,000 people screaming at you. So I think that's a great idea, Dusty, and we talked a little bit about that today, just how we could emphasize that. And I think when you guys tune in on Saturday for Oklahoma State, we're going to try to show that off a little bit, because I really feel like it's an underrated place in college football.
I like Oklahoma State.
He's Adam Amin, one of the best play-by-play voices in all the land. He will be on the call. Oklahoma State hosting Boise State, a top 25 matchup, 2:30 on ESPN this coming Saturday. Enjoy Stillwater. Have a great call, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
I'll be looking forward to taking the baton from you guys when you're at Syracuse, brother. Have a good one.
All right, man. There you go. Adam Amin, one of the best dudes in the business. By the way, at him on Twitter. Come on, Oklahoma State fans. Show my boy a good time. He loves to eat. He loves the people. So if you get on Twitter, at Adam Amin, be sure to give him some great locations to go have a good bite to eat while he stays in Stillwater. I'm an Okarchi today here at Carter Chevrolet, where they're making friends selling cars in that order. How about a new 2018 Chevrolet Silverado Z71 starting at $33,500? That's $15,000 off the MSRP, and over 140 used cars and trucks in stock to choose from. Prices starting at $5,000. We've got